Hello and welcome to Dealcast, the voice of Merger Market, the world's premier publication about mergers and acquisitions. I'm Juliana Needham, and this is our next instalment of Equity Focus, where we look at equity capital markets, news and trends. Yesterday, the 2nd of April, was dubbed Liberation Day when Donald Trump announced 10% tariffs on all imports to the US, with more, sometimes much more, for the so-called worst offenders. To try and make sense of it all, I'm joined by Samuel Kerr, who is the global ECM editor for Merger Market. Hi, Sam. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Juliana.
So, can you start by giving us a roundup of the reaction to the news on tariffs, please?
Well, I don't think there's any positive spin you can put on this. And that is absolutely apparent from global equity markets. If you're looking at Europe, I'm just looking at European indices now, and it's red across the board. Big heavy losses in Germany, France. The FTSE 100 is down slightly less than the continental peers, but still down significantly. And that is reflected really globally throughout equity markets. I mean, Asia didn't react perhaps as badly as Europe is reacting. Japan isn't doing so well. Chinese markets, not so exposed, I think. There does feel like still that decoupling of China from the rest of the, from the US and maybe even from a bit of the rest of the global economy has happened a little bit on that front. And China has now managed to insulate itself a bit from what's happened. And also, obviously, China's been exposed to tariffs from the US for quite some time. So perhaps less an immediate reaction there, but certainly in Europe, we are seeing a very, very negative day across global equity markets. So the immediate reaction is extremely poor, I think, as you probably would expect it to be.
Yeah, and we're recording this at 2 o'clock British summertime. We're waiting for US stock markets to open, but when they do, there's an expectation, obviously, that those stocks will fall as well, or those indices will fall. What's the expectation that the impact of the tariffs will have on equity capital markets in the longer term?
Well, you're absolutely right, Juliana. And actually, interestingly enough, US markets, as we speak now, I'm looking at the futures market and we're looking at far worse in the US than even what we're seeing in Europe. I think, interestingly, just to look at that point, and something that isn't really obviously captured by some of the pro-tariff crowd, is this is going to be bad for the whole world economy and for global trade. It's going to be particularly bad, however, for the US. You know, not only are things going to get more expensive in the States with import costs going up, the United States is a major part of the global economy, but it's certainly not the majority of the global economy. And you are cutting off US business from their major global trading partners and their major markets, and exposing the cost there when retaliatory tariffs will be introduced, as we now know from European and Chinese releases that they will be. So I do expect this to be particularly harmful for US stocks as well.
And it's a really interesting picture. Where I live in the West Midlands in Warwickshire near Coventry, the car industry is big and the bulk of the UK's car industry is based here. The car imports to America will now have a 25% tariff on them, which is obviously concerning for UK car manufacturers. But when you kind of unpick how a car is made, where its ownership is, where the components are made, where the steel comes from to make those components, it's really hard to know at what point those tariffs will be imposed, imports to the US and reciprocal tariffs.
Absolutely. And I think fundamentally, tariffs are a very blunt instrument to try to deal with trade imbalances. And it's really why they've been very out of popularity. If you think about sort of history and the use of global economic measures against other countries and the way that trade has been done, tariffs really haven't been in fashion for decades, for the reasons that they are too blunt an instrument. And generally, they are perceived by most economic theorists to cause far greater harm than the benefits they bring in. You know, as you say there, I mean, the complexity of global supply chains mean it's very difficult to even say what a foreign-owned car might be, you know, just to use President Trump's terminology yesterday. And I think the way that the US has approached this in the fact that, you know, any trade imbalances between countries is seen as a product of unfair trade practice and that has to be dealt with tariffs, is missing the issue that, in fact, you know, labor costs are different in separate different countries. Other countries are, you know, better aligned to certain product areas than the US. The US, for example, is a massive services exporter and has been for many years. The UK as well. I mean, one of the great most missed points about the reason the UK's tariff is 10% is nothing to do, I think, with Keir Starmer's wooing of President Trump when he went to visit Washington. It's to do with the fact that we are mainly a service exporting economy in the UK, and the US also exports a lot of services. Now, if countries really do want to hurt the US, they could bring in retaliatory measures against US services, you know, against the US hotel chains around the world, against US movie studios that export, obviously, their films all over the world. I mean, and that would start to impact the US's sort of cultural exports, which I think would be a major change to the way that we look at the global economy and sort of global culture and the West as we know it, right? So, I mean, that would be something that, that this could escalate far further than simple tariffs and retaliatory tariffs on goods. And I think, therefore, within that tone, to go back to your question on the equity capital markets, this makes things just very difficult. You know, we've spoken about it before that, you know, an IPO, for example, is a very high risk investment. It's in the market also for a significant period of time. So investors are buying an unproven company. They're buying it effectively as shareholders. It's not something you can trade out of very quickly. And for the issuer, you're taking at least 4 weeks of market risk, particularly in Europe, because, you know, you have to educate the buyer base. You have to have the books open for a certain amount of time. I mean, I don't see how you could advise any client to be in the market for 4 weeks at the moment. It is at such an uncertain time, and we really just don't know how this is going to go in the long term.
It's certainly keeping you and your team on their toes. So let's have a look at the IPOs and potential IPOs. And I'm particularly interested in hearing what your sources are saying on these. So you had CoreWeave listing last week. Can you, in a nutshell, explain what CoreWeave does?
CoreWeave is what they call an AI hyperscaler. So it helps companies to increase their AI output effectively. And what CoreWeave does, though, on a simple basis, is it buys chips from NVIDIA and then it rents that computing capacity out to companies for artificial intelligence, effectively. It really is seen as something that's at the forefront of the AI revolution as it is at the moment. But it is a company that has some interesting idiosyncratic issues with it. If CoreWeave is successful, it will be this IPO and investing in this IPO, I think, will be a major you know, investment, and that people will look back on as a resounding success. But the problem for CoreWeave, I think, going forward, and this was reflected by the investor feedback, is there isn't much of a moat around the business. And CoreWeave, while it has had exceedingly impressive growth over the last 2 to 3 years, there is fear that they cannot maintain it. And that, I think, played into the IPO dynamics, and which I think actually is the case for lots of companies. When you come to market, there are issues that investors will look at. You know, there is often a to and fro about the benefits of a company's business model and whether they can sustain things in the future. What was interesting about the CoreWeave deal, however, was very much an expectation at the start of the year that this IPO would be carried through on AI hype alone, and people would have just been fighting to get into the book. That didn't happen. And, you know, as we know, last week, the deal was effectively saved by CoreWeave's major investor, NVIDIA, which, yeah, came in as a major IPO investor. You know, it was a pre-IPO investor that came into the IPO as a major investor. And it got pushed over the line really for that reason. The deal was restructured, the company's valuation brought down, and the deal shrunk effectively to get it across. And that's how it happened. So a deal that really was expected to be one of the hottest deals this year got really brought down to size by very, very, you know, detailed investor scrutiny.
And the share price went down after listing, but it's now headed back up again.
It's been a funny old share price, actually, after it. So went down quite badly on the second day of trading. It was up and down on the first day, and then had an unbelievable rise after that to very high levels. The sort of up and down bouncing of the share price would indicate to me that this is not a particularly liquid stock, that there are a few shares trading hands, maybe in high number, but not between that many investors, it would feel like, if you looked at the stock move. I mean, I haven't got any real great insight over the call we've trading, so that may be incorrect, but certainly if you look at the way the stock is trading at the moment, it wouldn't suggest a great deal of liquidity, which I suppose actually, if we think about the way the IPO went, would make sense given so much of the book was allocated to Nvidia and to a small group of investors from what we hear. So that would make a little bit of sense, that you certainly have some true believers in the stock who are buying more, which I think is, if you were to look at this from an outsider's perspective and looking to invest in CoreWeave, I guess that would be a positive, right? That the people in the stock do very much believe the story. So if you were to look for a reason to invest in CoreWeave, that would be one of them.
And let's have a look at some of the companies that are looking to list imminently. We've got the buy now, pay later group Klarna. We have got the stablecoin issuer Circle, and then ticket reseller StubHub. What are you hearing about the likelihood of those companies listing?
I think it's hard to get a likelihood of a listing because an issuer will often just press ahead, even in the worst of markets. And some issuers are successful in doing that. I think my takeaway from the market at the moment, from what happened with CoreWeave, is it is a buyer's market out there. Absolutely, certainly a buyer's market out there. It is also, after the tariffs announced yesterday, a very difficult market out there. If you have a very good asset, you can probably get through it. But if you have a very good asset, do you want to get through it? Could you not wait for a market where there is a little bit more of a tailwind behind your deal and equity capital market? So I think if I were an advisor, which obviously I'm not, and I'm not giving IPO advice on here, but if I were an advisor, I would certainly think about talking to my clients about maybe postponing until at some point this waves through, or at least the market has settled to have dealt with it, and the equities are trading in a manner that isn't just being changed every day by pronouncements from the White House.
Great. Sam, good to talk to you. Thanks very much. That was Sam Kerr, who is the global ECM editor. And just to point out, we are recording this on Thursday, the 3rd of April. Thanks for listening to this week's Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it. If you're listening to Apple, please give us a rating and review the show. If you'd like to find out more about what we've been talking about on this episode, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.